You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Now, every week I'm really flattered to be joined by experts all across Oxfordshire that share a little insight into their world of business and what's happening on the ground in Oxfordshire. And this week is going to be no different. We're going to tackle the world of property in Oxfordshire, so a complex subject that I'm sure impacts all of you listening at home and in your offices. And to do that, I'm joined by three experts. I'm joined by Vinnie Kumar of Cherry Picked Residential, Ruben Diffie of Property Formula, and Greg Thompson of Oxford Property Consulting. We will introduce our three guests after this. Get ready. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Let's dive straight in by introducing our three experts to you. So let's start. Vinnie, can you do the wonders of starting by introducing yourself and Cherry Pit Residential to the listener?
Yep. So my name is Vinnie Kumar of Cherry Pit Residential. We are a property consultancy that cover the entire county, offer a very one-on-one approach with bespoke and cutting edge marketing. We cover sales, lettings, land and new homes.
Amazing. And second up, Ruben. Please introduce yourself.
Thanks very much indeed, Ben. Good to see you. So I'm Ruben Diffie. I'm a chartered surveyor with a company called Property Formula. We're Oxfordshire based. I've been a chartered surveyor for nearly 25 years now. I've been running my own business for the last 13 years. Our business consists of lots of different surveys to help people buy their properties across the county and beyond. And we also provide valuation services for tax, divorce, matrimonial proceedings, litigation. We cover Oxfordshire and the surrounding counties. And we're pleased to help all of our clients across the area.
Amazing. Thanks, Ruben. And last but certainly not least, Greg, please introduce yourself.
Thanks, Ben. I'm Greg Thompson, spelled the right way, no P, director at Oxford Property Consulting. We are a residential property buying agency, predominantly based in Oxfordshire, but we cover Buckinghamshire, Berkshire, the Cotswolds.
Amazing.
Clients' dream homes or properties, depending on their individual circumstances.
Ah, oh, perfect. Thanks so much. Greg, following your unfunny slant at the spelling of my surname, I'm going to stay with you for the difficult question. So as Vinnie and Ruben will later today, you have chosen a song for our listeners. So let's find out, what is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Well, I racked my brains as to which song to go for here to find something that would be appropriate for the show. And I've chosen a classic that people will probably know the originals. It's a Bruce Springsteen classic, but it's by one of my favourite bands called Slightly Stupid. And it's a version of I'm on Fire. It's a great song. Reminds me of my childhood. It's one of my favourite bands that me and my friends used to listen to. So hopefully the listeners will enjoy.
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back. This is Get Radio. Welcome to the Business Brunch. Following that great song chosen by Greg, we have heard from our three experts, so Vinnie, Ruben and Greg, about their three businesses across Oxfordshire. So let's start by going into a tough question. Vinnie, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay, with a big one.
Yeah.
How is property in Oxfordshire right now?
So it's quite encouraging, generally speaking, across the board in terms of the more sought after villages and anything surrounding the city. I think we've definitely got over the worst of it. So a year or so ago, when rates consistently kept on increasing, there was a lot of hesitation. There was lots of media speculation that there was going to be drastic deterioration. Obviously, the Oxfordshire market is very resilient. So on a few occasions, we've superseded what would have been deemed a fair slash sensible marketing price. There have been a few occasions where we've seen multiple offers. But yeah, I mean, obviously the market has changed in the past year, but it's certainly a lot more encouraging where we've got very motivated buyers that are still looking to proceed with property. So generally speaking, we are keeping busy.
Amazing. And what are you seeing, Ruben, from I guess a valuation point of view? Is there still that appetite? Are values still good?
Yeah, it's always a difficult question to answer in any market. And I think, again, when you look at the Oxfordshire market, we're dealing not only with local buyers, but also lots of international buyers. And there's, you know, constantly a sort of a shortage of supply in the market, which underpins values across the county, whether that's in the city or in the surrounding villages. So if it's the right property in the right location, I think certainly values are being upheld at the moment. That's not a problem. There's always going to be sort of price points where it's a little bit more sensitive, and whether that's first time buyers getting it onto the ladder, or people that are sort of trying to get within a certain proximity of schools and so on and so forth. So there's certain factors that weigh one another, or outweigh one another, I should say. So values, I think, are very much holding up in this market at the moment.
No, amazing. Greg, the service that you offer is certainly a great one. What are you seeing with your clients? And just explain like what a client of yours would look like, and what you're kind of really seeing in the market with your clients.
I mean, I suppose the way in which we operate, not one of our clients looks exactly the same as the other. We've made a conscious decision to make sure that we never have clients with a direct conflict. So we'll have one client with one particular search remit so that we can give them the service that they deserve and pay for. I suppose an awful lot of our clients do happen to be often reasonably well heeled, but whether it be time poor or have had bad experiences trying to buy properties before, or just new to the area and looking for the handholding. We're certainly seeing that, particularly at the top end of the market, it's one of the most robust markets that exists, and frankly hasn't had much of a knock from any of the trials and tribulations in the micro and macro economy. I suppose the dominant driver for us tends to be schools. So a lot of people coming here thinking, well, look, we're going to be here for 7, 8, 9 years, 10 years plus, and they'll ride out whatever peaks or troughs do go on within the property world. The market that we've seen struggling more has been those that have been using mortgages. Most of our clients tend to be cash, but obviously with the rates as they had been, that people had been thinking twice about whether they do something now or in a few months' time. And ultimately, it's that old question of confidence, isn't it? With various wars, Brexit, elections, all that sort of scenario coming out of the works, there's never the right time. But as COVID taught us, life goes on, and the desire and the requirement for good quality property will endure beyond whatever is going on in the wider world.
I think that's certainly the certainty, isn't it? We will all always need somewhere to live. So that's really key. Ruben, I think you wanted to comment on that point.
Yeah, thanks very much indeed. I was going to say that, we're in a cycle that, we've seen great property price growth over the last couple of years, sort of post-COVID. Oxfordshire is very much on the map in terms of being a go-to destination for lots of families. As Greg says there, and rightly points out, that the schooling attraction is a key factor. But I think if you look back to other periods in the market over time, we've been one of the sort of last into any kind of recessionary sort of environment, and one of the first out. We've got first class employment across the county, and I think that underpins values very much, and demand to be in the county, which helps support property prices.
Absolutely. And Vinny, one of the things that I know that you guys are very good at and got a good reputation is land, so not just property, and working with investors. What is the appetite for investment?
So we've got an army of developers and individuals that are looking to build, develop, and I don't think that's realistically gone away. Whereas a year ago, there might have been an appetite to pay a handsome premium. We've still got several off-market clients that are still going to sell land at a big premium in and around anything with an OX postcode. So there's three transactions that we're currently working on that will still sell at a fairly hefty premium. So people like the guys alluded to, you know, schooling, big employment hubs, people want to raise their children and their families in the county. So therefore, rather than waiting a three-year period or whatever cycle someone believes that, that it's going to be a better time to buy, we've seen it over the past 15 years that, you know, the market is so strong and resilient. So even with any media coverage being that the market has deteriorated, it certainly does not last for long.
No, absolutely. And Greg, when working with your clients to find that perfect property, are you finding, and I appreciate there may not be a one size fits all, but are you finding that customers or clients are open to buying that potential, buying that property that needs lots of work? Has the building trade impacted that at all? Maybe that's something that that Ruben and Vinny might like to comment on as well.
I mean, certainly there are plenty of clients that like to put their own stamp on things. And I think one of the things that a lot of our clients struggle with, regardless of how much money is in their current account, is when they feel they're paying a premium for someone else's taste that they don't like. You know, someone may have put a 200 grand bolt out kitchen in whatever house it may be, but if it doesn't fit the taste of the individual that's looking, it's worthless. It's still going to end up in the skip 6 weeks after completion. So I suppose it's that perception of value and what it's worth to them. You know, we have clients for all sorts of different reasons. I mean, a lot of our clients, you know, maybe they have health issues or various issues with getting a little bit older, and maybe they would have done a big project when they're a little bit younger, but they don't have the appetite now. So a lick of paint, a bit of farrow and ball is probably the extent of the vast majority of the kind of clients that we're looking for. But equally, we have retained developers that we act for, as well as people that want to do a complete new build. You know, we're doing something at the moment that's going to be a really cool eco build, sort of passive house sort of a scenario. So it entirely depends on the client. And I suppose our job is to try and open their eyes as much as possible, working in conjunction with people such as Vinny and Ruben, to make sure that they go in and they don't end up like that so many people do at the end of, say, these grand designs programs, either divorced or broke. It's very easy to get carried away with these sorts of projects and think, oh yeah, it'll be easy. But yeah, the reality is it's tougher and more expensive than a lot of people would initially think.
Mm-hmm. So it's some really, really interesting points there. Let's pick out potentially the eco side of things, if that's okay, because I think that's a buzz show, a buzzword. And we actually had a previous show with Elliot Moore of Oxygenited talking about eco homes a few shows back ago, which is really fascinating. In fact, Ruben, I think you were actually on that show.
You're absolutely right, Ben.
I better stop digging here. But are eco homes popular? Is that something that's continuing? Do you gentlemen see that as being the future of property in Oxfordshire? Will there be a point where all homes are eco?
I think ultimately it's the way that we have to go, you know, regardless of your individual policies and whatever rhetoric suits the individual election and that 4 or 5 year cycle. You know, there's a huge amount of problems coming our way in terms of climate change, and even the deepest of pockets are thinking twice about the eco credentials of the house they're buying. You know, I suppose the difficulty is technology catching up. And particularly when the Georgian rectory has the appeal of that, you know, old school charm of symmetry. And if you ask a kid to draw a house, they'll draw a Georgian rectory. It's very different when you're spending X thousand pounds a month to heat the bloody thing. You know, so actually getting something retrofitted with heat pumps or solar or as much insulation as possible is increasingly key. And it's certainly going to be interesting to see what happens in the next election cycle, whether there is any further impact or relaxation on rules and regulations, particularly governing things like listed buildings.
No, really, really key. Vinny, what's your stance on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So certainly with just your run-of-the-mill client, if there is the opportunity to buy in a more desirable part of Oxford and there is any form of more efficient property. It is very much at the forefront of any prospective buyer's mind. But also beyond that, with a lot of developers we're dealing with, the early consultation before they're even going to planning, such as air source heat pumping, triple glazing, all of those elements are really being considered, where it's obviously not necessarily going to build the biggest profit margin, but in terms of that niche buyer they attract, they will pay that premium. So it's just obviously attracting the right clientele and being very clear on your core audience. So it's just pairing the two. So we're fortunate where we're dealing with some very sensible and eco-aware developers.
Absolutely. And Ruben, what's your stance?
Well, I think again, yeah, as Vinnie points out, developers are very sensitive to what's accessible in the market, but also I don't think that necessarily it's coming down to cost for developers. It's coming down to marketability of the end product. And I think, you know, the air source, the ground source, the solar are all key ingredients in creating something which is a highly marketable commodity and differentiates the property from the next property in the market, which is great when it comes to new builds, and it's far more cost effective to install all of these technologies into new builds. The dilemma is with the older property stock, and of course Oxfordshire and across the county, as well as in the city, has got a great deal of older properties, as Greg says, grade two listed properties, and so on. But so the dilemma is really retrofitting. And I think that certainly inside the Ring Road, we could be seeing issues where, you know, the cost of fitting out and applying insulation internally begins to have an impact on values, possibly in the longer term. But we're also seeing, I think, possibly, maybe we're on that crest of a wave where we're seeing the last gas boilers being installed over the next year or two in favour of air source, for example, and ground source. So it's going to be an interesting time over the next 12 or 24 months, I should think.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Ruben, I am going to stay with you for a bit of a difficult question, if that's okay, which is your song choice. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Great. Thanks very much indeed. As you can imagine, there's a vast catalogue of song choices for Ruben Diffy and the rest of the team here. But I've gone with something that an artist who I really like to listen to, very easy listening, Jason Mraz. He's a great artist. He's been around for the last sort of 20 years. So he's my generation now, I should think, probably. And the song I've chosen is Have It All. He's a great songwriter. He's great on the guitar. Yeah, some superb lyrics here, and I'd like to dedicate this one to my daughter, Jemima.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Ruben, donated to his daughter Jemima, and we've been speaking with our three experts really about property in Oxfordshire, and I think the conversation's very much gone to sustainable property. We've spoken quite a bit about that, and I just want to move the conversation on a little bit to a bit of a buzzword that we were really building on at the start of the show, which Oxford being a bit of a microclimate and is almost its own ecosystem. Can we just build on that a little bit more and just really kind of talk about why is Oxford unique and really maybe your thoughts on why it stays, I guess, in that own ecosystem? Maybe Greg, you'd like to start on that.
Sure. I mean, I think it's looking at the things that won't be changing. Oxford obviously based in education, I'm sorry. University's been around for the best part of 1,000 years. That's not going anywhere in a hurry. It pulls some of the best talent in the world, you know, whether it be future prime ministers, presidents of the world, or whether it be innovators in drug and antibiotic technology or whatever it may be. So that has a huge pull. And as part of that, there's also the education within schools. You know, private schooling being a huge draw for a lot of money coming in, particularly from the Far East, from the States, wherever it may be. You know, Oxford has an embarrassment of riches when it comes to schooling, both private and state. Frankly, there are some excellent state schools as well. But I'd say that the driving force comes from schools such as Summerfields, the Dragon. You know, into secondary school, you've got St. Edward's, Magdalen, Oxford High. You know, the list is endless. So as I was sort of saying earlier, in terms of people wondering about, you know, what something's going to be worth in a few years, whether they buy now, then, or whenever it may be, because of the fact that Oxford is so protected in that regard, and also development is restricted by the very nature of the ring road and what have you, I suppose there's a protected element to our microclimate of property that we have here. And actually, you can look back to the 2008 crisis, and whilst there was a little bit of a blip, Oxford really wasn't affected in the same way that the rest of the country and the world was. And I think that in the face of uncertainty at the moment with, you know, the Middle East and what have you, ultimately, if you're looking at an investment as well as somewhere that your kids are going to learn and get the best of educations, it represents one of the safest place to put your money.
No, really, really valid points. And Vinny, just in terms of the school piece, of course, you know, children are very high on every parent's agenda, aren't they? How common is it for schools to be such a big factor? And are families moving for the purpose to get into that, I guess, that sacred school?
Yeah, so that middle to upper end market very much is driven by school catchments. And we are very fortunate, like Greg stated, to have some of the most sought after schools in and around the county. So typically speaking, school catchments, we have lots of buyers that will make drastic compromises, providing they can get their children into the more sought after schools. So for sure, that's a big driver.
Absolutely. And Ruben, what's your stance on this?
Well, we've obviously touched on universities and schools, but I think the other factors that underpin the Oxfordshire market very much are, if we look at communications, the proximity to London is first rate. We've got two train stations in Oxford alone, which has drastically improved communications to the city of London. But also, I think, you know, other things like the technology, science and technology industries, Milton Park, for example, Culham Station, you know, there are other examples of fantastic employers across the county, as well as Formula One, for example, which attracts a great deal of, you know, talent to the area generally. And I think the other thing that we have to look at in terms of the supply of property again is, and I'm thinking here about sort of larger scale development, is land ownership. And again, the university holds a sort of trump card there in terms of the amount of property and land that they own, not just across this county, but beyond.
I don't know how true this is, but I once saw an article that was saying that you can go from Oxford to Cambridge without going off university land, which is true. If true, it's certainly fascinating, isn't it?
I think it was St John's land was the old story. That's what they used to say. Not sure whether it's entirely true, but it's a good story nonetheless.
No, it's most certainly. Vinny, I think you wanted to add on.
Yeah, just to add, in terms of several clients that we've dealt with recently, is a big draw to the area is the five hospitals. So that cycle of 3 years when you've got multiple junior medics moving in and certainly some more senior consultants, they want obviously to be in sensible proximity to the Headington hospitals. And then to add to that, which certainly when we are starting very early on with any prospective buyer, the hospitality element, you know, I think with the range of nice restaurants and gastro pubs, again, plays a part of it being that family environment for any buyer that wants to settle for the forever ever.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And Ruben, you're raising your hand. Let's go across to you.
Yeah, I'm bursting here, Ben. I think the other great thing, I mean, we could talk about this subject for a long time, and you've got two fellow experts here that could join me in doing that. But yeah, Vinny picked up on an interesting point there with the hospitals, and again, we see it with the university in terms of this sort of transient population. So there's lots of people that come to the city and are here short term, and I think that actually helps the market in many ways. So there's a constant demand, a constant influx of mainly professionals that are coming to the city. So that really keeps me in business and underpins my business as well, actually.
No, very much so. You've touched on a buzzword there, business. This is a business show. And something I want to build on with the three of you is that you're all representing independent businesses in Oxfordshire that may I say so myself, have all got really great reputations for not just what you do as a profession, but in terms of how you work with your clients and customers and what you do outside the four walls of your brand. So, Vinny, I want to start with you, if that's okay, and just really kind of talk a little bit about kind of the values behind Cherry Picked and really what the Oxfordshire business owner listening could learn from that.
So I guess we pride ourselves, we're a family-run business, but we ultimately, our expectation for any client we are working with, everything we do, whether it's the level of marketing, whether it's the communication in the evening or weekends, whatever it might be, it's all based around how does this benefit our paying client? And that solely is our focus, and it's served us well, and we've had the business community to embrace our business over the 5 years that we've been operating. So solely focusing on the client and only the client rather than a benefit to the business. Everything's sort of fallen into place. So,
I'm going to stay with you here and let you plug, Vinny, because you do run a great curry club. So just talk about that, because I know that's a very collaborative piece as well, isn't it? It's not just a good curry.
Yes, that's our secondary business, which is the Oxford Business Pillar. So we invite a maximum of 40 local Oxfordshire businesses to attend and support a Oxford charity. It's invite only, and we get booked up every month. We raise a good amount, normally a couple of £1,000 for the charity on the night. It's normally a very enjoyable evening, and we promote one, again, local Oxford business. I always think it's nice when you've got, like just the panel today, when you've got another professional business actually standing up and promoting you rather than you talking about yourself, frankly.
No, very much so. And Greg, let's come across to you. Talk to us about your side of the table.
Well, I think much like Vinny, I have a background in corporate agency, of which, you know, frankly, I don't think we could do what we're doing if we didn't have the background of all that training and that knowledge. But I think certainly knowing Vinny and Ruben as well as I do, I know that they place a greater emphasis on the quality of the people and the interactions that they have and the community that we live in, and actually being able to spend a little bit more time dealing with these people. I know certainly with my former employer that I loved and worked for many, many years, I just wasn't able to spend as much time with the clients that I frankly thought they needed, because you're part of a great, great big sausage making machine that needs to be servicing other people, you know, in the next 15 minutes. I realized that as much as I'm helping clients find bricks and mortar or bare land or whatever it may be, bricks and mortar is almost secondary. We're dealing with people as a priority, you know, families that are often in full-on stages of their life, whether they've relocated from a different part of the world, whether they've gone through some pretty important life moments. I mean, to be perfectly honest, there's three key drivers to property coming onto the market often, and none of them are particularly positive: divorce, debt, and death. So you're often dealing with people at really extreme times of their lives. And actually, it always astonishes me how many people work within the industry that don't seem to like people. And I think it certainly left a gap in the market that we're certainly trying to do our best to fill our particular niche, put it that way.
No, very, very much so. A couple of sketches that are coming to mind here is in terms of, if you spend a pound within a small local business, how many times that pound will go back throughout the community is really, really key. But also, I think in terms of buying from any business, but I know that today's show is all about property. I think that if you're buying from a local business where the people live locally and network locally and within the community, you're going to get so much more of an insight, aren't you, in terms of actually what does this truly look like? And Ruben, I just want to, it's always harder, isn't it, to go last, but I just want to come across to you on this kind of local kind of independent business piece. You, of course, set up your business quite some time ago now. What's been your mantra and what has kind of been the result over the years?
Well, thanks. So I think the thing to bear in mind, we've talked a lot about our respective clients through Greg's business and Vinny's business. And our clients are very well educated in Oxfordshire. They're a very discerning client, and they—I think—I don't think their demands are unreasonable, but I suspect their demands are probably somewhere in the higher echelons of their expectations than the average market, perhaps. And so I think where I place the value in my business is not just being independent for me, but it's being able to provide accessibility to the clients. They need to contact me and speak to me personally about the service I'm providing. And they very much value that accessibility. But it's, first and foremost, it's about providing professional advice so that our clients can make informed decisions. And my mantra is really just about adding value. And if I can add value to that process for the client, then that's the key to me being in business, whether that's through the surveys, the valuations, the planning, the development, and so on and so forth. But I always like to step back and challenge myself as to how and where I've added value for the client. And then, the byproduct of that and being in business, as we've touched on, is being able to, invest in my business through supporting other local businesses, whether that be, recruitment, whether that's website design, comms and so on and so forth. And again, you get a recommendation from somebody else you're in business with. And that referral sort of business is invaluable, actually. Being able to go straight to somebody, again, have a personal relationship with somebody who's going to be providing that service, just saves an awful lot of professional time, which is hugely valuable.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Vinny, I'm going to lighten the tone a little bit and go to your song choice. So as with Greg and Ruben, you have kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. So what have you picked and why have you picked it?
I have gone with Jay-Z and Linkin Park. I think it is one of the best fusions of two artists. So,
The Business Brunch Podcast with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Really, really enjoying this conversation today, as I'm sure you are, all around property in Oxfordshire. And certainly I've learned a huge amount. Also, you probably could learn quite a lot about our guests by their song choices there. So let's continue the conversation. I think, Ruben, how you ended the previous section was very much on that collaboration piece in terms of working with other businesses. And I know that the three of you do work closely together and certainly collaborate. So Vinny, why do you collaborate with other businesses, and what does that mean for that end client?
So from the client's perspective, we are only recommending solicitors, property search agents, surveyors that we personally would appoint ourselves on past work they've done, on the quality of service they've provided. And I think the big key factor is we don't see, like some of the larger organizations, any financial benefit. So we are simply recommending because they are adding value to no benefit to our own company. So that's why our general feedback and testimonials are quite high, on the basis, well, actually, it's only a benefit to the client and it's not transactional. And we can evidence, well, actually, this particular professional that we are recommending you to is outperforming their competitors, and here's the absolutely transparent overview. And because there's no financial aid or benefit, it really is down to the client to say, well, actually, I favour this individual. And in some instances, they might decide to go for another party, but it is a lot more organic and impartial. And I think that adds huge value to the client, because, there isn't any incentive. And beyond that, when it's a quality local business that we work with, in most cases, our clients say, well, if you are recommending Ruben or Greg, whoever it might be, well, we've obviously trusting you with our asset, land, property, whatever it may be. So if you are giving them a personal recommendation, it generally goes a long way. So it's all in-house. And then and beyond that, there's a bit more accountability. So if we are putting our name to one of these local businesses, then the client is well within their rights to say, well, you said that this is an individual that you would trust, you've worked with, and you would personally appoint. But both ways, there's accountability. I know if we send any of our clients to the two chaps, they are going to make them a priority. So everybody is winning.
No, very much so. Greg, what do you see in your market under this topic?
I couldn't agree more with Vinny's point, really. You know, I think these relationships where there are backhanders or referral fees paid for these sorts of scenarios seldom end well. I mean, clients come to us as much as it is to try and find a house or land or whatever it may be, but it's also access to our little black book. Mm. And I think certainly the stance that we took is that, once again, from an ethical perspective, if you're taking backhanders for these sorts of things, it just doesn't work. Mm. Also, it's more money out of the pocket of, well, the professionals involved as well as the clients that are employing them. You know, we have an ever-evolving little black book that, frankly, if people ever let clients down, they're out. You know, there are no two ways about it. Unfortunately, there's the constant ebbing and flowing, particularly within the world of lawyers as a particular example, surveyors as well, although, you know, Property Formula, I'd struggle to go beyond Property Formula these days. They're a fantastic outfit. But, you know, there are people out there that are really not doing a good job for their clients, and ultimately they're to the detriment of the clients moving forward. And often they don't find out until they come to resell the property in however many years' time that huge mistakes have been made. Or perhaps there's a situation, particularly using the example of lawyers, that don't communicate properly, where deals can fall apart because of the sensitivity of certain situations. As I touched upon with my rather bleak reflection on the core drivers to certain properties coming onto the market, when people are going through tough times, if you've got a non-communicative, unprofessional lawyer in the midst, it can kill a deal.
No, very, very much so. And I think that's very key, isn't it? Because I think that there is that very common and well-known phrase of buying a house or moving a house is the most stressful time of your life. And actually having the right experts around you certainly will help with that. What about yourself, Ruben? What are you seeing?
Well, again, I'll echo those comments from Greg and Vinny there. But I think certainly in a transactional sort of environment, you know, once you've found that ideal property that you want to buy, you want to get it over the line just as quickly as you possibly can. And so having the reassurance from other professionals party to that transaction that you're engaging with the right specialists to keep it on track, to nurture it, I think that's very key. And I think, you know, as independent business owners here today, we're able to be agile and nimble and respond to our clients and you know, 11th hour queries, we can get those over the line, you know, because that's what we do as independent professionals. So speed and efficiency are very much key ingredients in my business, but it's also that level of detail. And again, coming back to the other point I mentioned earlier in terms of accessibility, very, very often there'll be, you know, a query quite late in the sort of transactional sort of timeline. And being able to jump on that and give the necessary reassurances to your clients and other professionals is absolutely key to completing that transaction, and that builds reputations.
Absolutely. The speed piece is an interesting one, because I think that, I'm by no means an expert, but deals can fall through with time, can't they? And actually, there is, again, for want of a better phrase, you know, time is money often for a lot. Vinny, what do you see under this time piece, or anything else you kind of want to build on?
Just to add to the two chaps, I've got two examples. So we were marketing a property a few weeks ago, and we were due to launch. Ruben had done a probate valuation for the estate. Rather than waiting for the solicitor, which it was Friday, picked up the phone to Ruben. Within an hour, we had the report. So therefore, it allowed us to launch the property that weekend rather than waiting for the lawyer to come back, which could have at any point later on in the week. And same with Greg, we had a scenario where one of their clients was due to offer. We spoke and we basically confirmed a couple of comparable properties. So in terms of the synergy between the businesses, it's a huge benefit to any client, whereas you're not going to get that with a larger corporate agencies, because they are all small cogs in that big machine. Whereas, certainly I believe our clients see a huge benefit.
Absolutely. Gents, you've given so much advice already, and thank you for that. But one of the things that I think we regularly do on this show, which I think would be quite really useful actually this morning, is sort of a top tip or something to consider or a takeaway, whether it be something we've already discussed today and just something to maybe highlight at the top of the full notebooks all across Oxfordshire, I'm sure, or whether it be something fresh. So let's start with Reuben, if that's okay. Short straw, unfortunately, Reuben, for you. What would be your, I guess, takeaway tip?
Well, I would say if you're I think the best advice, if you're in the market to buy property in Oxfordshire, is to employ Greg Thompson. The reason why I say that is not because I like Greg as much as I do, but the reason is that his little black book gives him access to properties that are not on the market. And people forget this. They get engrossed in the web portals searching for their ideal property. But there's an enormous amount of stock that's transacted across the county, and Vinnie and Greg will back this up, that actually doesn't come to the open market. You don't see it listed on Rightmove. You don't see it on any of the other portals. So I thoroughly endorse using a buying agent first of all. But I think if you're not going to do that, make a relationship and create relationships with the estate agents. Don't just rely on the fact that you're registered with them. Introduce yourself. Make it personal. Tell them about your scenario, your work, your schools, your family, and exactly what it is you're looking for, and make yourself, put yourself in a position where you can proceed readily. So get your ducks in a row, do all of your homework in terms of finances, and appoint your solicitor and appoint your surveyor so that everybody's poised for when you do find that right property.
Amazing. Great advice. Greg, over to you.
Well, despite my conversation earlier about the importance of not taking back handers and what have you, Reuben, I'll send you that £20 in the post later. Very kind of you. Thanks so much. To echo what Reuben was saying there, the importance of using good people. And I think people are often misguided by the fact that if they're paying cheap fees, then they're going to get the best case scenario out of it all. I think it's that old adage of buy cheap, buy twice. And actually, if you use the right people, you pay a sensible fee for an appropriate service, you'll never regret it.
No, great advice. And Vinny, last but not least, to end the show, what is the takeaway note?
So my advice to any prospective buyer in particular would be is make sure you are financially ready and qualified and you're in contact with a good mortgage advisor. If you are buying by a mortgage, make sure they're well prepared to be in contact with the estate agent. When you're making an offer, when you decide to make an offer, put some information on your logic and rationale rather than just chucking a number. So to show that you've been diligent, what you're comparing it to, what your assessment of the market is, and then brief your lawyer, like stated earlier on, brief your lawyer when you are when you've got an offer accepted, and same with your broker. There's nothing worse than the agent picking up the phone to the broker and then clearly being unaware that their client's made an offer. So it's obviously, from our client's perspective, when you've got one party that is very well informed, well prepared, naturally their offer is going to be received in a far more favorable light, and there might not be a huge difference in the number, whereas if the solicitor is fully aware, if the mortgage advisor was sharing an agreement in principle or an email letter to us to advising, yes, we've sat down with this particular client and they have got the ability to proceed, well, naturally that gives us and our client confidence this party will get to the finish line.
Thank you so much, gents, for sharing such insight. But unfortunately, that is the end of the show. If you are just tuning in, I definitely recommend listening back, as it's been so insightful all the while around the world of property in Oxfordshire. We have had Vinnie Kumar of Cherry Pick Residential, Reuben Diffy of Property Formula, and Greg Thompson of Oxford Property Consulting. So thank you so much for that, gents. We will be back next week with brand new guests and talking about a topic that is going to impact on local businesses all across Oxfordshire. Just a reminder, we are on the radio every Sunday at 11 o'clock. There is also a podcast format which is available for all your favourite podcast platforms and is released on the Monday morning, so definitely check out that. And do look out for the video format, which is posted to the Get Radio Facebook page and the website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I look forward to welcoming you back next week.